Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Universally accepted abbreviation eval. As part of my eval of the NFL at the midway point, I took a hard look at the Saints before the addition of Dez Bryant. They have a lot going for them, more than just the offensive side of the ball. And I also wrote about the two teams that will be clashing on Thursday Night Football. Come Thursday night, we're into week 10, baby. And so I hope that you'll take a look at my latest column. I just retweeted the link. It's on Twitter, A-Law Radio. It's also pinned to the top of our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. A lot of you weighing in during the break about Dez Bryant to the Saints. And I see that my smartphone is not the only one that autocorrects the word Dez. Mine just happens to autocorrect it to S-E-X. I don't know why. But Russ's phone autocorrected Dez to us. Maybe he accidentally typed D-U-Z. Anyway, it's not one of those names that your phone's going to recognize until you type it a few more times. Now I'm sure if I did voice to text, it would just put in Dez. Thankfully, I did not send that text before I corrected it manually. So, Twitter, Facebook, the phones, 855-212-4227. Love to hear your reaction to Dez Bryant signing a deal, a one-year deal, which is more like a half-a-year deal, with the New Orleans Saints. We're talking about a late-season audition. You can join us inside the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. All right, we're going to hear a little more from Drew Brees coming up. Plus, there has been a Le'Veon Bell sighting in Pittsburgh, but as far as we know, still no contact with the actual team that he plays for. Kind of. He kind of plays for them. He hasn't been in touch with his employer, according to multiple reports. Do you know Tuesday's the deadline? So he's obviously not going to play Thursday night with the Steelers against the Panthers. In the meantime, James Conner is saying, bring it on, all of it. I'm built for this. Let's go. Let's do this thing. So maybe the fact that Le'Veon Bell is in Pittsburgh is an indication that he's getting close to reporting to the Steelers, but he's waiting to the last possible second. I kind of feel like it'd be fun over the weekend if he just popped up at different places around the Steel City. And there was this whole game of where in the world is Le'Veon Bell? If it were me, I would start sending lookalikes out to pose as me to see how much uproar I could create. So where in the world is Le'Veon Bell? I mean, we're on countdown now, because if he doesn't report, he forfeits the rest of his year's salary and gives the Steelers option for, guess what, tagging him again next year. Oh my gosh. This is actually, I feel like it's not a professional decision that benefits Le'Veon in any way, except that he said it's about preserving the miles on his body. I just feel like you have a limited window and so much money on the table, but he's a grown man, and this is what he can do. This is what he wants to do. So we'll let you know if there's any more video pops up. Le'Veon Bell playing basketball in Pittsburgh. Dun, 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 dun. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So I promised you my story, and then we'll get back to some calls and some more football. I walk my dog around. Now it's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon because I'm trying to get that walk in with Penny before it gets dark, so I don't have to carry around my gigantic mag light and walk through the neighborhood in the dark. So I leave my house with my dog, and I see my neighbor. Just to give you an idea of my street, I'm toward the bottom of a hill, and it's a short hill, and at the crest of the hill is this other neighbor of mine who has a dog. We know each other well because her dog is always frantically barking at my dog. So I wave to her, as I'm walking by, she's about three houses from me, and she's out there with her gigantic backpack, leaf blower, and the headphones. So she's hardcore, and you can hear that leaf blower all over the neighborhood. So I generally am away for 20 to 25 minutes walking the dog. We do a couple of miles in the morning and a couple of miles in the afternoon. And so she knows how long I'm away because she sees me twice a day walk by her house and go off to take the walk. So I come back and I crest the top of the hill after about 20, 25 minutes. Wouldn't you know, I catch my neighbor red-handed down toward my house, blowing the leaves from her yard all the way down the street, across the road into my yard and my neighbor's yard. So she has not only blown them off of her yard, which is now pristine for, you know, all of 5 seconds until some more leaves fall, but her yard is completely green because she has blown this humongous pile of leaves, not just down the street, three houses, but then across. Yeah, it sounded like that. But then across the street to my side. So she lives opposite the street from me. And I come over the hill and there she is, literally standing right next to my driveway, blowing leaves into my yard.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. I caught her red-handed blowing her leaves into my yard and into the one next to me. And I don't say anything. I'm just looking at her like, what is she doing? And my dog and I are walking, you know, walking down the hill now. And she turns and she sees me. The look on her face, she was aghast. It was almost a visible start. So embarrassed. Now, I know her face was covered up with like the headphones and whatever else. But I could clearly see how embarrassed she was. So I smiled. I didn't laugh, though I felt like laughing. But I just smiled. And then, wouldn't you know, she kind of subtly, as much as she could, does a 180 and starts blowing the leaves back into the street.
Like I would tell you that it's not awkward at all for me.
Oh, Roger, you would never do this. I'm sure you're a great neighbor. So she is blowing the leaves into our yards, and then she kind of turns, and she turns the leaf blower and starts blowing them out in the street. So I walk, so I'm about three houses away. I walk all the way down the hill. She doesn't obviously say anything to me. Now she's got her back to me because she's theoretically blowing these leaves out into the street. And Penny and I go inside, but I'm still looking outside. So she kind of looks like furtively at my house and then just like tries to blow them into the pile in the street and just leaves them. Yeah, because that was her plan, to blow them into the street and just leave them there in a pile. Oh my gosh. I mean, I know you guys have told me before that some of you blow the leaves into your neighbor's yard, which is fine. It's just leaves. The wind is still blowing. They're probably going to blow back up the street, actually, which is kind of funny. The wind blows toward her house.
So, I didn't know.
So the leaves were probably blowing back into her yard anyway. But yeah, I just caught her red-handed. She would have been better off doing it while I was sleeping, but nope, she waited until she thought I was out of the house with the dog. I didn't say anything because I didn't need to. Plus, of course, she was wearing her headphones, her protective gear. Oh, yeah. I mean, three houses down, that seems to be going to a lot of trouble to get the leaves as far away from you as possible. And across the street. Maybe I could have egged her. I should have, like, brought an egg out of my house and, like, egged her.
It's time to have some fun.
Oh, my gosh. You heard rumors, but I caught her red-handed. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. 855-212-4227. Seems to be that most of you do not believe that Dez Bryant is going to be a distraction or a problem. And if you've been listening to me and you agree with me that he's got everything to lose, he's got everything to gain, but he's got everything to lose. I hope that I've convinced you. Now, I could be wrong. The guy could squander the opportunity. We're human beings, right? So sometimes we screw up the second time and the third time and the fourth time and the fifth time. But I would think that because of his recent hiatus from the game he loves, that this has been a game changer for him. And of course, Drew Brees was asked about the locker room chemistry and Dez Bryant with a strong personality.
There's all kinds of different personalities when it comes to exactly that, just personality or, you know, competitive nature or, you know, this guy's a jokester, this guy's that, and yet, man, everybody When it's time to work, it's time to work. When it's time to have fun, it's time to have fun. I think everyone compliments one another. I think we all want to win, you know. And so at the end of the day, if we can bring somebody in here who can help us win, then that's great.
There are probably three or four locker rooms around the NFL that I believe can absorb a personality like his without any trouble. There are a few quarterbacks that command respect. You can think you're all that and give me the damn ball and blah, 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 blah. But Dez Bryant isn't better than Drew Brees. Dez Bryant doesn't have a better resume than Drew Brees. Drew Brees is one of the most consistent, efficient, accurate, incredible quarterbacks of a generation. He's won a Super Bowl. Drew Brees has earned the respect, and he commands the huddle. He may be diminutive in size next to his offensive lineman or next to Dez Bryant. These guys would go to war for him, and he's earned that. And so that's the interesting thing. You don't walk into a Drew Brees locker room or a Tom Brady locker room for that matter, or an Aaron Rodgers locker room and think the sun and the moon and the stars in this NFL team revolve around me. Uh-uh. It revolves around Drew Brees. And in an offense, you better damn well know it. Now, he's not going to throw it in your face, but there's no question as to who runs that offense. And so I don't feel like he can pull a Tude there, or any guy can pull a Tude there. Because Sean Payton, Drew Brees, they outrank you, for lack of a better term. Not just in New Orleans, but in the NFL. You're a big name, but Drew Brees is bigger. And this is your opportunity. So I think it's the perfect situation for him. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Glenn, who's in Portland. Glenn, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy, what's going on? How's your grandma doing?
She's doing well, thank you.
Yeah, I always like to hear you talk. I enjoy your talk. Yeah, great about the Leaf one. But anyhow, I think you're right about everything you said, that Dez Bryant is going to go there. You got to look at the Cowboys, man. How crazy are the Cowboys? You know, they lose another game. Jerry Jones is getting, you know, Jared Tall, he's losing it. You know, I just can't believe him. I think Dez Bryant's going to see a different organization, how they run it there with Peyton and Drew Brees. Class act. This is like Belichick and Brady. They get along like that. And he's going to see something he's never seen. And I think he's going to get figured out real fast that he's in a good spot. And I can't believe that they only had the leading receivers on 12 receptions. That's hard to believe.
Yeah, just one guy. Michael Thomas is the only receiver who's got a dozen catches. Yep.
I don't know. You know, the way they run that offense is that they won't need to use Bryant, but they got the big play guy. You know, I mean, you know when you know how he goes when they're running, and then Brees will drop back and then do a play action. He's got Dez Bryant out there. Man, think about that. That's scary. Yeah. Very good if you like the Saints.
Delivery to Dez could be perfect. I mean, no doubt for Michael Thomas, too.
Can I put a shout out there on the end of my call? We can vote for the Pro Football Hall of Fame now as regular people now. And I just want to say that Sam Mills from the New Orleans Saints deserves to be in the Hall of Fame in my book. That's all I got to say. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, sir. I appreciate the phone call. 855-212-4227. Yeah, I feel like the locker room issues, it's not going to be important at all. Similar to, now Josh Gordon's not a locker room problem, but he fits perfectly in with the Patriots because he understands what a gem of an opportunity this is and that he doesn't want to squander it. Not to mention their business. They're professional. You do things the Patriots way. You fall in step. You don't get out of line or you're gone. And he knows that. And it's the perfect, I don't want to say rigid because that might be too strong, but we have heard players who've come out of that organization say that, man, it's just too businesslike. It's, you know, it's tight. Like they run a tight ship. It's not for everyone. But if what you need is structure, if what you need is a professional environment, if what you need is expectations that you will fall in line, if what you need is to be, now minions is not fair, but there is a certain way that you do things, and there is no one player who's bigger than the Patriot system. And it's perfect for Josh Gordon. And this could be perfect for Dez. All right, so on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I am interested to see how they're going to use him and how quickly he can get up to speed. Those are the two questions that I have. So I'd love for you to check out my column and give me your feedback. I didn't just write about the Saints, even though Drew Brees is the photo that they chose. I wrote a bunch of observations about the first half of the season. Can you believe we're going into week 10? How did we get here? Week 10.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Kevin Byard adding some insult to injury on Monday Night Football. And we've seen other guys try this. Terrell Owens, remember, got housed after he was celebrating on the Star in Dallas so many years ago. I'm sure a lot of you remember it. It comes up every now and then when Terrell Owens' name is brought up or when you see highlights of San Francisco-Dallas games from the past. And so it's been tried before. It's not a unique move, but Kevin Byard pulled it out on Monday night as the Titans were taking out the Cowboys at AT&T Stadium. It's Brad Sham on the Cowboys Radio Network. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, Byard did not immediately regret the decision, but he's saying he regrets it now, a few days later.
Looking at it in hindsight, you know, it did kind of look a little selfish on my end. And, you know, I'm more concerned about, you know, my teammates, you know, looking at me as a guy, as a leader. And, you know, I should have found my teammates first. Logan Ryan was actually the guy who helped me make that play. I should have turned right around and celebrated with him. But like I said, at the end of the day, I'm more concerned about my teammates just knowing that that's not the kind of person. And they know that I'm a humble guy and things like that. But other than that, man, it was great to see the teammates, my whole entire team, react. And, you know, it was 28-7 after that point. So it was pretty decent.
Yeah, so I don't necessarily need the apology or the regret, but I do like his perspective, which is, what was I doing out there? I should have been celebrating with my guys, the guys who helped me to make that play. So that part I appreciate, but generally I don't need you to tell me you're being selfish, like whatever. Have we heard Michael Thomas apologize for the cell phone that he had in both ends of the New Orleans Saints Stadium? No. Great. That's nice of Kevin. I like his perspective. I don't know that it was necessary unless, you know, people are really still mad. Was it a big uproar in Nashville that I'm just missing it? 855-212-4227. Ernest is listening in Albuquerque. Welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy. How you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm a diehard Rams fan. I have been for about 40 years. And I mean, watching that game this week, it was so frustrating the way Thomas was just catching everything that was thrown to him, and Brees' accuracy was amazing. I was like completely impressed by Drew Brees, the way he just placed the ball in positions where nobody else could get it.
Yeah, that's what he does.
And there on top of that, the way he was catching the ball also and scoring, and then you're going to add Dez Bryant to the mix, you know, and Dez is coming in. He's going to be fresh. He's obviously in shape. They like the way he, you know, looked during the workouts. So he's obviously in shape and ready to go. I mean, at this point in his career, the guy needs to buy a Powerball ticket or something, because he's got to be the luckiest guy in the world to be in this position. To add another dimension like him into the mix, it's going to be pretty intense to watch that offense. And being a Rams fan, I was really impressed the way they played. And I'm looking forward to see how this plays out the rest of the year.
I agree. The Rams obviously have another big – well, they have two big games coming up, but the one that everybody's got circled is that game against the Chiefs in Mexico City. That's another huge gauge for them. There's no need to, you know, to go freaking out about it. I'm sure Rams fans aren't. No need to cry for the Rams. They're still in really good shape. But that's another game for them where they can gauge how their defense is doing against a high-powered offense and whether or not they can avoid falling behind. They did a really good job of catching up, right? But they fell into a big hole, and you expend so much energy and you work so hard then to catch up that you're not on equal footing. And so they can't fall behind like that. That fake, I get it. Sean McVay, he's creative, and he felt like he had the guys that could do it. Maybe they didn't get a good spot. But either way, that's a huge risk to take. And after that fake field goal, they ended up, you know, giving up, the three touchdowns in 13 minutes after that? So that was a major turning point that put them into a big hole. The team didn't respond well when they didn't get that first down.
Yeah, that's very true. There was a huge momentum shift right there. We had just gotten the turnover. I figured we'd get at least 3 points on the board. You know, we're going to have momentum on our side going towards the halftime. It was still early in the second. And then you don't get it. Brees takes it down the field, and they score a touchdown.
Right.
And then you get the interception, the incredible catch by I think the linebacker there. And then they get another touchdown. So, I mean, man, it was just one thing after another there to end the half. And I was impressed. I mean, the Rams showed a lot of heart the way they came back from down 21 points.
They did.
Tied that that game, but man, they just couldn't quite get over that hump in that dome. That dome's amazing. It's like dead silent when the Saints are on offense. And then when they're on defense, man, you can't hear nothing. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, no, it's really an awesome home field advantage. It's one of the places in the NFL where it actually matters still.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Cool. Well, I appreciate your phone call. Thank you so much, Ernest.
Thank you.
855-212-4227. Garrick sends me this tweet. I really wanted Dez in Cleveland, but that locker room has a history of dysfunction like the league has never seen before. Although the Browns may be starting to turn it around, a minimal nonsense New Orleans team might be the best place for Dez to shine or fail. So he includes the caveat. I would agree with you, Garrick, about New Orleans and also about Cleveland not being the right situation. A real strong personality there can upset the apple cart. Oh my gosh, I said it again. Thanks, Grammy Helen. My 96-year-old grandmother, that's something that she would say. Also, did you hear the news that the owners in Cleveland, so the Haslams, are going to allow John Dorsey to conduct the search for the next head coach? I think that's huge to allow Dorsey, who's a football guy, who's very well respected in the league, who's trying to build a team and should have gained some equity with the moves he's already made, both through the draft and free agency. He's going to be the one, probably will have suggestions that he makes to the owners that they'll have to improve. But it's still amazing that they're going to give that up and allow him, the football guy, to do the coaching search as opposed to them doing the coaching search. So let's do one more quick call here. Dominique is in Dallas. Dominique, what do you think about Dez to the Saints?
Amy, how you doing?
I'm good.
Dez, I think this is a good move for him, but I hope he can keep his head, you know, his wits about him, and play good football and learn the playbook and be a team player.
So are you rooting for him?
You know what? I'm rooting for Dez. I'm in Dallas. I'm mainly in L.A., but I'm in Dallas. So I kind of, you know, I saw Dez play and watched his career kind of take a turn. And, you know, I just feel even the Cowboys today are kind of getting a bad run with Jerry Jones kind of standing over their shoulder, keeping them from actually playing good football and letting the team shine. And Dez is a good move for him to be in New Orleans because I think he will be a lot better player because I think he's going to play harder this time and really, you know, make a difference.
All right. Well, I hope that you're right. I hope this turns out to be a positive for both him and for the Saints because it could serve a need, fill a need for both of them.
Exactly. Amy, yeah. We appreciate you. Enjoy your weekend.
Sweet. Thanks, Dominique. Good to hear from you in Dallas. I just saw this post on our Facebook page from Simon. He says, as a diehard Falcons fan, I hate to see Drew Brees have any more ammunition than he's already got. He says Brees gets good production out of Ben Watson, who ain't exactly a spring chicken. Yeah, and he's, what, 2 years removed from having a devastating Achilles tear? I think he blew out his Achilles. He is an older guy, and he's the one who caught the 500th touchdown pass, right? And so he's a guy that Drew Brees has developed a good rapport with and really wants to succeed. He's a character guy. He's got a bunch of kids. He's known around the league as an author and as a voice who speaks out about, you know, some of the different issues where politics and social will intersect with the NFL. He, again, very well respected, and he's been a productive member at tight end, and that's all due to Drew Brees. It's, again, it's a quarterback who can raise the level of play of everyone around him. So Dez should be thanking the Saints and being on his best behavior for this opportunity because this is, I mean, this could be perfect for him. Matt says on Facebook, not really a Dez fan, but hope he can find his redemption on the Saints. He's a gifted athlete with good talent. You know, he could turn a lot of people into Dez fans if he does take advantage of this chance with New Orleans. All right, so on our Facebook page or on Twitter, A-Law Radio will reveal your choice for TD of the week. The poll may still be live, so you can check that out on Twitter, on Facebook. Yeah, you've got a few minutes left if you want to vote. It's very close between the top two candidates for TD of the week, and I love hearing from you, especially when you read the column. That's always a perk. The company likes that.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We've actually had multiple people call us up or tell us on social media that because the officer was also listening to After Hours, there was a kinship there. And know, I can't. We actually had a police officer call up and tell us that he pulled a guy over and realized he was listening to the show and let him off with just a warning. Anyway, we can help. We're here to provide public service. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. So I'd love to continue to take your reaction about Dez Bryant to the New Orleans Saints. He should be signing that deal on Thursday. At 30 years old, I have not seen any financial terms, but what we do know is that he is content to play out the rest of the season in the hopes that he can then earn a free agent deal if things go well. And he's got the perfect situation. He couldn't ask for a better situation to make his re-entry into the NFL. We'll have some QB news coming up next hour, and we'll run full court, a little basketball. LeBron James gets a new running mate who could be exactly what the Lakers need. Man, you want to talk about a hodgepodge. I know I did a show or part of a show on this maybe a week and a half ago, because I was laughing about the odd bedfellows that Lance Stephenson and LeBron James make. But, you know, thinking about also Rondo and JaVale McGee and just some of the different personalities they have there. Now they've added another guy with a strong personality, but also a specific need that could fit with the Los Angeles Lakers. So we'll do that at the top of the hour. We're also going to start to look ahead to week 10 in the NFL, and that starts on Thursday night with a really good matchup. I hope that it lives up to my expectations. The Steelers and the Panthers, two teams that I wrote about my latest column that was like a heat check for the NFL at the midway point. Let me think, what else? I want you to hear from Mike Tomlin, too, because he's being questioned about the Le'Veon Bell sightings in Pittsburgh. So a lot that I still want to get to, as well as your calls and your responses to Dez Bryant in New Orleans. I was thinking about possibly doing a NFL MVP poll and who would be your MVP at this point. And then I thought, are there four candidates? Could I put four candidates into a poll? I think the obvious choices would be at this point, and I know it's only midway through, but Todd Gurley for sure and Patrick Mahomes. But then I thought, could we throw a James Conner in there? He's already over 1,000 yards from the line of scrimmage and is on pace for 2,170 yards, if you do the math. And then, if you think about not just the yardage with the production, but how about the fact that he's got 9 rushing touchdowns and he's tied with Alvin Kamara for second most in football behind Todd Gurley. So I don't know. Maybe at this point would be a dark horse. If we're thinking about other quarterbacks, I could see a Drew Brees being in there or Matt Ryan. Now, you would expect that with Ryan's numbers, that part's no issue. But the fact that the Falcons have not, well, they've just gotten back to 500, but they've not played up to their potential at this point. And it's mostly because of the defense. So, yeah, some interesting names that I think we could throw out there. And I actually would love to get your feedback on that. Outside of Todd Gurley and Patrick Mahomes, who right now would be the easy choices, although if it comes down to two, it's still, you know, if you're a voter, you have to go one way or the other. But who else would you throw into the MVP conversation? It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. So as I mentioned to a caller, and when we first started talking about Dez Bryant, it's easy to think about the number of wide receivers who've changed teams over the last couple of months. And high profile, we're not talking about guys that you don't know, but high profile wide receivers. So the Josh Gordon to the New England Patriots, that happened way before the trade deadline. Now Dez Bryant to the Saints. The Demaryius Thomas to the Houston Texans was recent, but that's also one that could end up carrying, it could end up being an impact move. So it depends, of course, on how quickly he can get up to speed. But it couldn't. He could end up carrying a major load where Will Fuller has torn his ACL. Golden Tate to the Eagles. That's another one. So top receiver for the Detroit Lions, and he changes teams. And so I'm excited to see as these guys get comfortable in their new roles with their new quarterbacks and with the new playbooks and schemes and language and everything else, how it's going to work out and which one of these could be kind of like a Major League Baseball trade deadline acquisition that in the last few years we've seen some huge moves for teams that ended up in the World Series. So the Justin Verlander to the Astros come to mind. I almost said the Texans. The Justin Verlander to Houston comes to mind. Of course, the Steve Pierce and the Nathan Eovaldi to the Boston Red Sox. Those are both moves that maybe didn't make waves at the time, but turned out to be huge for Boston in winning the World Series. Going back a couple years, Aroldis Chapman to the Cubs, Andrew Miller to the Indians. So maybe we could see one of these moves at the NFL's trade deadline or before for a receiver turn out to be a pivotal acquisition that gives them just the spark and just the edge that they need. Not to mention Amari Cooper to Dallas. Now, that's not what everybody's talking about with the Dallas Cowboys, but I was impressed with his first game with the Cowboys. He gave them a dimension and an option they hadn't had. And it looks like he and Dak had worked together a bunch already. Now, we'll see. And we need some time. We need the perspective of the rest of the season to see which one of these ends up being huge. We know that the Josh Gordon move to the Patriots is already panning out, but they've got a little time that they've had to work on it. I appreciate it when guys take the high road. I'm hoping that Dez Bryant does. He took his pot shots at the Cowboys previously. So he took... You know, when he was released, he was disgruntled. When the season started, when the words of Stephen Jones were made public about how he was a distraction and his fiery personality was a problem for the locker room. And there was an implication that Dez was maybe not good for Dak Prescott. He and Jason Witten always being in Dak's ear, which I don't even know what that means. But that's what... Stephen Jones said that really got under the skin of Dez Bryant. And so he fired back and he used words like snake. That was referring to Sean Lee, remember? He called Jerry Jones clueless. Can't get much more pointed than that. And he also said he was being used as a scapegoat. Now he's probably seen that anger dissipate a bunch. And now he just wants to play football. But it was too soon for Demaryius Thomas. And he did an interview on Orange and Blue Radio in Denver, which is devoted to the Denver Broncos. And they asked him about some rumors that the Broncos were anxious to get him out of their locker room.
You know, it bothered me, and I didn't, like, pay attention to it. I wasn't reading it. You know, I had people from Denver was like, man, they really said they got rid of you because you was the problem on offense. And said they wanted to better the offense. And I'm like, really, bro? And then the people just still kept stirring it on. Like, I heard they were saying, Vance was saying something, Elway was saying something. And I'm like, I done did so much for this organization. Never had bad nothing to say about anybody. None of the players I done played it with, I just did my job and just, you know, kept it as professional as I could. And, like, for y'all to just say, you know, I was one of the reasons our offense wasn't going and say this and that, it was like, man, that hurt.
So he responds to what he believes he's heard and what other people have heard and are telling him. Boomer Esiason said to me once, if it's just the player and you know, they know things are being said, they can block it out pretty easily. The problem is when their family gets upset because their family's reading all of these tabloids and social media posts and rumors. So the family then starts talking to the player or the friends start talking to the player. And then it becomes this big issue where the player has much more difficult time blocking it out and focusing on work. And so you hear Demaryius talk about how people are trying to ask him, well, how do you feel about this? The Broncos are saying it's your fault. It reminds me of the game of telephone. All right, so these things tend to change when they're repeated over and over and over and over and over down the line. The story maybe isn't what it originally was. And so now Vance Joseph is being asked about the comments that DT made on his way out the door.
I think, you know, I would say this about that. You know, number one, you know, we have great respect for DT, you know, and myself, John, and Zach, and all the guys who were included in that article, I guess you would say, or the conversation, have great respect for DT. So that's first. You know, I think secondly, I'm disappointed, you know, to read those things about how he recalls the conversations going. It was obviously a week and a half where the rumors and gossip was flowing, you know, and we talked about the rumors and gossip, and until something happened, you know, we all had to focus on doing our jobs and winning football games, you know, and that was from my end, that was discussed. So I'm disappointed, you know, in, you know, how he remembers it. But again, we have great respect for DT. He was a great player here. We honored him on Sunday, and, you know, we didn't win the game. You know, he won the game, so.
So. Oh, did you cut him off? No, I got you. Okay, we were done hearing from you, Vance Joseph. That was the end. You get the gist. Coach Joseph is saying, come on. I mean, we honored him. We respect him. He's been a big part of what we've done here. Maybe don't believe everything you hear, everything you read, everything someone tells you. Not everybody takes the high road on their way out. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.